Golden West Radio Network presents Crisis.
I can't stand funerals. They're barbaric. I had to come, of course. Laura was on the faculty, and we were friends. I can't believe she's gone. So young. Well, thank God it's over.
Harper Locke, principal of Harrison Senior High School, moves slowly out of the chapel and into the thin afternoon sunlight and stands bleakly watching as six pallbearers slide a bronze casket into a long black funeral coach. School is out, and several hundred young people are there also to pay their final respects to Laura Tyler. Laura, vivacious and popular, had in the 5 short months of her teaching at Harrison made senior chemistry the most popular course in school. Her pert voice and laughter will never more enliven the chem lab. Laura has spoken her last. Or has she? Join us in 1 minute as Crisis presents The Last Thing Laura Said. Now, our story. Harper Locke, tall and spare in a dark blue suit he seldom wears to school, walks through the grieving crowd of teenagers to his car parked in the church parking lot.
Mr. Locke?
Huh? Oh, hello, Marvin.
Sir, could I see you?
Now?
If it's all right.
Well, I'm driving in the procession out to the cemetery.
Yes, sir. But I thought maybe we could talk while we're going out there.
Look,
that is, if
Kramer,
you wouldn't mind giving
to tell you the truth, I'm in no mood to talk about anything right now. How about tomorrow in school?
Well, but
come to my office whenever you have a free period.
Well, okay, Mr. Locke. See you at the cemetery.
That Marvin Kramer. Most intense kid I've ever seen. Of all the times to want to talk. Well, of course, he was very close to Laura. Had a crush on her. Along with half the other seniors. And to think, she only started with us in September. Old Bill Horton had finally retired, and we needed a senior chemistry teacher. I never really saw a woman in that slot, for some reason. I'll never forget the day Laura came in for an interview. She sure changed my mind.
I'm not really as unstable as my resume appears, Mr. Locke. It's just that I had to find what I wanted, and it took 3 schools in 6 years to find it. But now I know what I want, and you have it.
Well, we're not paying what you made in your last position, Miss Tyler.
Oh, that's immaterial. I'm not supporting anyone. And besides, maybe in time I'll prove I'm worth more.
Now, this school is what the district refers to as a tough place.
Great.
I don't know. We've had some unpleasant episodes.
What school hasn't?
I guess what I'm trying to say is that it takes a certain amount of backbone to succeed with these kids. Experience. Maturity.
I know I look young, but I think it's an advantage. Well, kids relate to me. I don't lose my cool. And I talk their language without being condescending about it the way so many older... Well, maybe I ought not to say it.
No, you're quite right. I sometimes feel grotesque, mouthing the little slang words the kids use today. I'm not fooling them.
Oh, and incidentally, I also happen to be a darn good chemist. I think chem's exciting, and I teach it that way.
It says here you're 30?
That's right.
And you look 20.
I know.
Well, thank you for your time, Miss Tyler, and I'll be in touch with you by the end of the week. The school board agreed with me, for once. And Laura Tyler became one of 4 new teachers on our faculty in the fall. I guess her first day in class was nothing short of historic.
My name is Laura Tyler. I'm glad to see so much enthusiasm. I'd have really been disappointed if you hadn't put on this little demonstration. Now, I know you have the potential to put a lot of yourselves into something you can enjoy doing. And that means you're going to love chemistry. Oh, would one of you please get me a glass of water? This young lady down front, will you do it? Oh, just use the sink. There are glasses in the cabinet. Now, I started teaching when most of you were in 6th grade. I think I've matured a little since then, and I hope you have. Now, I want you to raise your hand if you think chemistry is a boring subject. I think I can prove to you that chemistry isn't boring at all. Now, we all experience chemical reactions every day. What about the way you young men feel when you're with a date you really get turned on with? Or when I suppose the girl feels the same way about you. All right. If only one of you feels romantic on a date, that's frustration. But if both of you feel romantic, that's chemistry. Now, chemical properties depend on the ways in which one substance reacts to another.
Here's your water.
Oh, thank you. What's your name?
Karen.
Thank you, Karen. All right. What did you put in this glass, Karen?
Water.
And water is what?
An element.
Is it?
It's a compound of hydrogen and oxygen.
That's very good. You are 100% correct. What's your name?
Marvin Kramer, Miss Tyler.
Well, thank you, Marvin. So you see, people, nature has mixed a lot of substances into compounds already, and science makes new compounds. Now, hydrogen and oxygen are both gases until exactly the right proportion of hydrogen and oxygen atoms get together, and then they become a liquid, water. Now, can you tell me anything else about water?
When you freeze it, it gets hard and expands.
That's right. Can you tell me any other property of water? Anyone? Karen?
Well, it won't burn.
It won't? What did you say you put in this glass, Karen?
Water.
Water. All right. Watch. Now look at your water.
It's on fire.
Yes, because I tossed in just a pinch of another element, potassium. Now, I have to admit that this trick is one of the oldest in the book, like tossing a little sodium into a puddle of water and making the water explode. But there are plenty of new tricks that chemists are using every day, and you're going to be doing some of them yourself. And in the process, you'll be discovering what an exciting place the Earth is to live in.
From that first day, Laura had her class eating out of her hand.
Miss Tyler? Miss Tyler?
Oh, hi, Marvin.
I just want to say, you're a dynamite teacher.
Well, thank you.
Can I walk with you?
Sure. I'm going down to the teacher's lounge for a quick coffee.
May I ask you a very impertinent question?
I guess so. Ask it.
How old are you?
30 last month.
Wow. That blows me away. How can you be 30 and look like Miss Teenage America?
Just some lucky genes and chromosomes and plenty of fresh air.
I love the way you don't talk down to us. Gags me when some teacher thinks he has to spell everything. I mean, some of us aren't your typical Neanderthal. Take me, for instance. Both my parents are writers. Fritz Kramer, you've heard of him?
I'm not sure that I...
Atlantic, literary editor. My mother's a technical writer for Rockwell International.
So that explains you.
Well, not completely. I mean, I was born with an analytical mind, yes. But it's the way I've used my mind since they gave it to me that makes me different from these insufferable jocks that infest this institution.
Well, you certainly express yourself vividly and accurately. Well, here's the lounge.
Miss Tyler?
Mm-hmm?
I seem to sense that you consider me just a bright student.
Well, I haven't checked your records, Marvin.
I am a bright student, but I'm more than that. How important is chronological age to you?
Well, it depends on whose chronological age we're talking about.
Excuse me, I'm getting into philosophy there. Let's speak in your terminology, chemistry. You used the example of two people having chemistry, a chemical reaction for each other. Now, I happen to believe that from the time these two elements develop maturity, they could react to each other, regardless of their age difference. Do you agree?
Mm-hmm. Potentially, yes. I agree. It could happen.
You are a revelation, Miss Tyler.
Well, whatever that means.
Tomorrow, third period?
Yes, Marvin, third period.
Laura opened the door and came into the faculty lounge where good old Sylvia Harrison, the school drama teacher, and I had heard the conversation with Marvin Kramer, and our amusement showed on our faces. Laura, you'll have to watch yourself. Kramer's trying to hustle you.
We were eavesdropping, dear. You handled him beautifully.
Sit down.
He's an interesting boy.
Yes, and I think he's interested in you.
I imagine Laura's used to that by now.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. Is Marvin a good student?
Straight A's.
You know, I think he can do anything. Of course, if self-confidence is what it takes, he'll be president someday. We did Barefoot in the Park last spring when he was a junior, and he took the lead. You know, the Redford part? And he was spectacular. We had the reviewers from the local paper in for the dress rehearsal, and I thought she would never stop gushing about him.
Well, it'll be fun having him in the class.
Well, how did things go?
Great. I'm going to love it here.
And I think I can truthfully say she did love it at Harrison. And Harrison certainly loved her. Well, with perhaps one exception. Yes. There was one person who hated Laura enough to kill her.
Act two of The Last Thing Laura Said in a minute.
It was just a month after school opened in the fall. We had a big dance in the boys' gym, and of course, I was there as a chaperone, trying to make myself invisible. I know two or three of the unattached men on the faculty had tried to date Laura for the dance, but she wriggled out from under very tactfully and showed up alone. She was dressed, well, she was a knockout, perhaps a little too provocative. I was in the shadows near a door and heard Karen Birch very clearly. She was giving Marvin Kramer a piece of her mind.
You're just making a fool of yourself, Marvin.
Oh, cool it, will you, Karen?
Look, I watch you in her class. I know what you're trying to do. She's 30 years old, Marvin, and she's a teacher.
Jealous, Karen, darling?
Jealous? Well, it's Kramer. Of a teacher? Listen, she's almost old enough to be your mother.
Oh, yeah, mother was 12 when she had me.
What do you think you're doing, dancing with her?
Having a little chemical reaction.
What?
I had to find out, and I know. She felt the same way I did. There was excitement in her eyes.
I just don't want to see you get hurt, Marvin. I don't want her to laugh at you.
Methinks thou dost protest too much.
What?
Shakespeare, Karen. You wouldn't understand. Well, I'll be seeing you.
Marvin!
I don't think Laura realized what she was doing to Marvin Kramer. She was flirtatious, but that was just part of Laura's personality. I don't think she ever considered that a student could mistake it for an invitation. But she was wrong there. That night, after the dance, Laura drove to her apartment and got out of her car. She walked about 30 feet into the dark carport of the apartment she rented. When she suddenly sensed there was someone else there, waiting in the shadows.
Is there someone there?
Hi, Laura.
Who is it? I can't see you.
Who'd you think it would be?
Marvin? What are you doing here?
Come on, I got the message.
What message?
At the dance.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't have to pretend with me, Laura. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to do anything. All you gotta do is whistle. You know how to whistle, don't you? You just put your lips together.
Marvin, and... stop it.
Hey, what's the matter? That was right out of the have and have not. I mean, it worked for Bacall and Bogart. I thought you'd recognize it.
Are you on something?
Right. You guessed it. Kramer is OD'd on Laura. I started getting high the first day I saw you. And I'm so high tonight, I never want to come down.
I think you'd better go. I'm going inside. We'll just forget this little thing.
But we can't, can we? Because it's happened, Laura, to you just like to me. You know it has.
Marvin, you're making a mistake. I don't know what I ever did to make you think I encouraged
you
this sort of thing.
You don't know. But... You mean to tell me you aren't aware of the way you look at me? The way you smile at me? The way you walk? The way you look at me when I talk to you? The way you stand just an inch or so closer to me than you really need to? And tonight at the dance, you danced with me and you said something.
I didn't say a word.
No, you said it in the way you moved. And I picked up on it. And here I am. Now, if you've had second thoughts about it, fine. Or if you're afraid someone will find out, okay. But don't lie to me, Laura, because I know.
Laura told me the whole thing in my office the following Monday. I advised her to act as if nothing had happened. But a dangerous fire had been kindled, and it smoldered undetected for 3 months. As the principal, I should have seen it. Or maybe I saw it and ignored it. Whatever. The terrible truth is, It all came to a head one icy night last week. I was at home, thinking about getting undressed for bed, when the phone rang. Hello?
Harper?
Yes, this is Harper Locke. Who's this?
Sylvia.
Oh, hello, Sylvia. It's kind of late. Anything wrong?
Yes.
Well, what is it?
Get down here. Now.
What? Get down where? Where are you?
The school.
What's the matter?
Just get down here.
Sylvia, what's wrong? Can you tell me?
Oh, yes. I can tell you. Laura's dead.
What?
Laura is dead. Now, will you please, in God's name, get over here?
I didn't think to call the police or anyone. I just drove to the school, my mind as numb as if it were frozen. I didn't see the custodian, just Sylvia Harrison. She was sitting on a bench just inside the entranceway. Where is she?
Women's restroom.
Oh, let's go. What were you doing here so late?
We had rehearsals for the one-act play.
Well, what was Laura doing here?
I don't know. Her room was dark. The door was locked.
That's crazy.
Here. Here. If you don't mind, I'll wait out here.
All right. I walked into the restroom. Laura was lying on the cold tile floor. There was no sign of a wound, no struggle. But she was dead. And then I saw it. On the mirror over the washstand, in bright red lipstick. The three strokes were shaky but very clear. Someone had written the letter K. It was almost 2 o'clock in the morning before the medical examiner finished his job. I was right there with a detective named Mandel, waiting for the word.
Well, the lady received a very bad blow to the occipital.
You mean she was struck? Someone struck her?
Could have happened when she fell to the floor.
But could it have been a weapon?
Could have been, Mandel. We'll know after the autopsy.
What kind?
Something big and blunt.
Hmm. Mr. Locke, who is Kay?
I was afraid you were going to ask me that.
Why afraid?
I've been standing here praying it isn't who I think it is.
Well, who do you think it is?
There's a student. He had a mad crush on Laura. One night a few months ago, he tried to make some advances. She fought him off. He's been resentful.
Name?
Kramer. Marvin Kramer. Spelled with a K. They did the autopsy. Just before noon, Detective Mandel came to the office.
Autopsy report isn't complete yet. But we do know one thing. Your boy Kramer has a cast iron alibi. He was at a basketball game with a whole gang of other kids.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, but we still have a letter K on a mirror. Any other ideas?
Well, there is one other, but I don't like it any better than my earlier one.
Well, let's hear it.
There's a girl, pretty sweet on Kramer, very jealous of Laura. Her name is Karen.
With a K?
Yes. Excuse me. Harper Locke.
Lieutenant Mandel there?
Yes, he is. Just a minute. It's for you, Lieutenant.
Thanks. Yeah? You're sure? Okay, that's good. Thanks. Well, the blow to the back of the head did not cause death.
Oh, what did?
Heart attack. Dead when she hit the floor.
Heart attack? She was only 30.
Happens sometimes.
But what about the K on the mirror?
Who knows? Maybe she liked to write on mirrors.
Mr. Locke?
Huh?
Can I talk with you now?
Oh, well, how did you get out here to the cemetery?
I rode with some other guys.
Oh, what is it you want?
I know how Laura... Miss Tyler died.
Oh, it was her heart.
Right. You going back to your car? I'll walk with you. I've had to work this case backwards in my mind, from the letter K on the mirror.
I see.
And it's really very simple logic. I mean, why would she write something with her lipstick if she felt herself having a heart attack? Answer? To leave an explanation of why she had the heart attack. Then I figured, What does K stand for?
Oh, and you think you've got it?
I know I have. I know you've been after Laura a long time. Mr. Locke, remember the night of the dance? I followed Laura home, and I saw you trying to kiss her there in the carport. Heard you quote movie dialogue. I couldn't believe you'd be so awkward. So I began watching you. You must have been in her lab, and I know what you took from it and put in her coffee in the faculty lounge. Potassium, right? Potassium causes dizziness and finally heart failure. Laura made it to her lab to check the coffee cup and then went to the lavatory to try to throw up the coffee, but it was too late. All she could do was leave a message that someone would understand, and I did. See, the last thing Laura taught us was the chemical symbols.
The chemical symbols?
Yes, sir. And the symbol for potassium is K.
Afternoon, Mr. Locke.
Mandel.
The kid tell you his theory?
Yes. Yes, he did.
Interesting, isn't it? Well, we thought it was, so we checked it out. Shall we go downtown, Mr. Locke?
The names of our players and a word about next week's crisis drama in just a minute. Tonight, Crisis brought you The Last Thing Laura Said, with Paul Herlinger as Locke, Debbie Baker as Laura, Mark Adler Corbell as Kramer, Shirley Aries as Karen, Pat French as Sylvia, Tony Karloff as Mandel, and Don George as the medical examiner. Sound created by Jeff Thompson, engineering by Carney Barton. The program is produced at Audio Recording Incorporated. This is your writer-producer, Jim French, inviting you to be with us next week for Crisis.